Hello, hello.
Hello.
Today's Saturday, December 19th, 2020. I'm Megan.
I'm Matt.
And you're listening to The Night Owl. So, we are entering the second week of December, almost through till Christmas here. I have recently put up our decorations. We have a tiny little Christmas tree. I'd say it's about maybe a foot long. And we put some ornaments on there, and my black Santas.
Yeah, it added to the festiveness.
My black manger is sitting on a decorative blanket that my grandparents got from Ireland. So I figured since I'm part Irish and black, it kind of makes sense to have them merged together. And then, of course, the little hints of Japanese trinkets and decor that I always have in the apartment. It's like the three main ethnicities that I'm proud of being. And we have my little angels, and it feels like Christmas already. I think it'll be nice to have them sitting there when we're traveling to Montana in a few weeks. Matt and I will be there a few days before the new year, and then when we come back, it'll be a whole new year in Chicago, and hopefully it'll start to die down with this pandemic, and people will start getting their vaccinations. Sounds like we're animals.
Yeah.
We have to get our shots.
Yeah, we're getting there.
We're getting there. We're progressing, and I think that now we're experiencing December weather. It's been pretty mild so far, and we are entering the winter solstice. I think it might be in a few days, if not today. So we did have some snowfall, but it didn't really last too long. But I just wanted to tell you guys that we are happy and safe. We are in our apartment recording, and I think our last episode, you know, they were pretty interesting. They were about a monolith and all the crazy stuff that's happening in space, and then we talked about safety, about eating in those tents at diners and restaurants, and talked about the first experiences from scientists and biologists and doctors that gave us some tips on what to do when we're dining outside, what to look for. I still have yet not attempted to do that, but I have seen some interesting outdoor shelters that look a little bit better. They're not completely covered. They're just like awnings and little pillars of coverings, but not a completely covered tent. Now, I would do something like that because I know that in the last episode, one of the doctors had said that it's good to have some sort of ventilation or like an opening that, you know, nothing's getting trapped in the air with the aerosols, the tiny little particles of COVID droplets. Can just kind of hang out in those tents for a little while. So I think Matt and I are going to try and keep away from the tents altogether. At least I am. I don't think I'm going to take any chances, especially since we talked about what to look for.
Yeah, I think there's a certain risk to going out, and some places are probably maybe a little less than others, but it's, you know, your individual, you know, it's up to you what you decide, and that's, you know, kind of our own decision and personal decision. And
yeah,
but things, like we said, are getting better. So
yeah, you know. I just recently went to see a friend of mine. She makes jewelry. Shout out to Kristen Bernice. Her brand is called Stone Cold Beach. And it is a homage to Michigan Lake that kind of circles around the Midwest. And she's from Michigan. And when she was back up there, she was in kind of a different time in her life that she wanted to take a break from being in the city for so long in Chicago. And when she went to the lakeside and all these different beaches in Michigan, it inspired her. The actual glass, the worn down glass of these beaches, inspired her to start making jewelry. And it's been about a year or so now that she's been making jewelry, and she makes resin pieces with little gems and like dried flowers and stuff like that inside. And I took my mom to go see her to buy some jewelry from her. So I'm just saying right now, there are still people creating. There are still people working.
Yeah, I mean, there are really some unique looking cool pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially if you are a fan of the Great Lakes, I would encourage you. I mean, I think those of you that either live here or around there, I mean, we have that kind of connection to one of the greatest bodies of fresh water that there is, if not the greatest. Yeah. And it's awesome that there's some kind of art and jewelry out there.
Well, she's the first one I've seen.
That's been inspired and from there.
Yeah, she's the first one I've seen doing that.
Literal and figuratively as well. So very cool.
Yeah, the Stone Cold Beach was supposed to be based off of like how cold it is out there. The beaches aren't like tropical beaches. They're what you see is what you get. A lot of rocks, a lot of dirt, a lot of worn glass. And I wanted to shout out to her because, you know, even though people are trying to be safe and not trying to spread this virus, there are still people out there creating and making art. And I think that we need to support people that are starving artists and just trying to make a living. I mean, especially if they've had a job before that. I see people actually changing careers completely because of this pandemic. They're trying to figure out other ways to make money, other ways to, you know, jog their brain into something new. And I just recently started going back to painting, and I bought some mini canvas that I painted. So I'll definitely put my link in there for my Instagram. I have a painting Instagram, so you guys can check that out. And yeah, so I think we're going to make this a celebrity episode or celebrity encounters. I think Matthew told me this interesting story. We didn't add it to the last episode because it was kind of a long one. So
yeah, on one of my recent travels, and maybe before, let me back up and kind of just digress. I don't know if anybody has ever heard of remember like the six people from Kevin Bacon, you can do that. How many people can you have met?
Seven.
Or whatever
steps
it was.
Of six separation.
Or, yeah, yeah, six steps of separation.
That was happening during
There's
Facebook.
Also where some people have said, you know, how many from a handshake, you know, this person has shook the hand of this person, you shake their hand, you know, basically through touch, how close have you come to actually having done that act yourself? So, based on that, this has to do with, I would say, butts.
Interesting.
I believe, you know, my butt sat someplace where somebody relatively famous has sat, and potentially this butt has been in contact with somebody even more famous than that.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So I was traveling, and I was in Pennsylvania. This was before the storm, obviously.
And how long ago was this?
A couple weeks ago, like I said, before the storm, and I had to take an Uber, and I ended up getting this Uber driver named Benny. And I ended up getting shout out to Benny, and I got in his Volkswagen. And Benny's Volkswagen, I will say, for an Uber car, was much unique than I'd ever been in before, because when I stepped in, he must have had at least 300, 400, 500, 1,000 different stickers, decals all over the inside of his vehicle.
That's awesome.
So eventually we do start kind of talking. He's pretty chatty. He's got a little bit to say. He's got a nice story, you know.
I love talking to Uber drivers.
It's pretty cool. It took a little while to, you know, the drive was, you know, not 5 minutes. It took a fairly lengthy time. And eventually, you know, somewhere between talking about kind of music and places we've been, he mentions somebody that he's had in his car. He doesn't really name drop, but he just kind of got into it. And I said, oh, no, it's fine. Cool. Because I had mentioned I was from Chicago. And then he started asking, you know, you ever watch the TV shows about Chicago? I mean, because, right, it's NBC, I believe, right, that has the Chicago Night.
Yeah.
Chicago Med, Chicago PD, and Chicago Fire.
The trifecta of Chicago shows.
Well, he goes on to explain to say that he picked somebody up who was at home. And he started to explain that, yeah, his work had shut down due to a couple cases of COVID. So he decided to go back home and visit his parents, this person that Benny had picked up.
Hmm.
You know, they start to talk, and eventually the passenger just happens to kind of mention, you know, during the car ride, let me back up before that, because I think this is kind of interesting. So Benny explains that, you know, he's divorced, and he's got two kids, two girls that he takes care of, and, you know, he loves that, adores them, and eventually his passenger says, yeah, myself, I just kind of went through a pretty serious breakup. Me and my fiance, we were supposed to get married, and then in the end, we just kind of decided, based on our careers, we just really wanted other things, so we broke up.
And that was his passenger that he was. That was his passenger.
And Benny's like, I could tell that he still had a lot of feelings for this fiance. You know, I could tell he had a lot of feelings for this fiance. Eventually, where they're going is this place in, as we would probably say in the Midwest, Lancaster.
But it's Lancaster.
But they say Lancaster, right?
Lancaster.
And if you've ever been
there, you should know
that is where the well-to-do people are. It's like...
And you and I have been there a couple of years ago.
We were there a couple of years ago.
It's beautiful.
So
it's an East Coast town.
It's if there are millionaires, that's where they live.
Yeah, this beautiful stone cottages and houses. And,
Benny pulled up to with his passenger. He pulled up to the place. He goes, whoa, who lives here? He's like, well, my parents do. And eventually he got to the point where... He mentioned that show, Chicago Fire.
And he said that Benny picked him up because his brother was too drunk.
Because that's why he eventually said, yeah, my brother was supposed to pick me up, but he got too drunk, so he ended up, whatever, getting that.
He's like, hey, I got too drunk. Get an Uber.
It gets to the point where he says, yeah, I'm on that show. He's like, what? He's like, yeah, I'm on Chicago Fire. And that's when the realization comes across Benny as he says, you're my favorite actor on that show. You're... Taylor Kinney.
Yeah.
You're the guy that was engaged to Lady Gaga.
Yeah, and broke up with her.
And apparently they broke up.
Yeah.
But he said eventually, I mean, he remained in his vehicle and kept talking to him for another 15 minutes. You know, he had talked about the various charities that he was involved with. And he just said, yeah, he's a real down-to-earth guy. And he just seemed really genuine. And he tipped him. He said... quite a bit there for
he is
for
involved
the
with the children's hospital.
So he says
too.
Yeah, he's home quite a bit to be able to donate his time and money and energy. So I just thought that was a really
so your
cool,
butt touched Lady Gaga's
so
butt.
Potentially right, I mean, because
unless he sat on her lap, but I don't know,
because he did say he's like, yeah, he sat where you sat, but he was always like, his head was always like up front. Like every time he wanted to talk to him, he would lean up front and was like talking to him real close and
so that he could hear him.
And this was
a while ago when Taylor, when he was his passenger, that was like a few years ago.
No, this was just a couple weeks ago.
So you were there after that.
Yeah.
So
I mean, that's how close this was. This was only a couple... I mean, I was there a couple weeks ago and he had picked up this person only a couple weeks ago.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
Or at least when the set had shut down due to COVID.
Yeah,
So whenever that occurred, so relatively...
Because when they broke up, I don't know when
that was
a while
ago. It's been some time, right? That's been over
a year or more. Well, because then when she did The Star Is Born, that was like a few years after they had broken up.
Yeah, they had just broken up after about
a year. And
I
think that was
a
good thing for her.
So it had been a while. But I just thought it was so interesting that first he kind of lays into this story without really knowing... who he is or
did you channel him? Did you feel the Chicago running through you?
Yeah, I mean, there was something there. I don't know what it was, but yeah, I kind of shot out.
You have empathic tendencies, so I think you can feel energy.
Very cool.
But yeah, well, shout out to Benny, and that's amazing. Like,
but the butt.
Now, the only thing is that we don't watch that show.
We do not watch that show. I must have full disclosure.
I don't watch any of those shows.
No,
I've only seen movies or... I saw Sirens, which is a show that was filmed here. And that was supposed to be like a comedy, a dark comedy about firefighters, EMTs, working and living in Chicago.
I mean, the extent to my firefighter on screen is really limited to probably Backdraft. And I have never really watched any kind of, I would say... TV program that has had firefight. I mean, plenty of EMT type
stuff.
Well,
Sirens,
I mean,
we'll watch.
We'll watch
Sirens because you would really like that show.
Hill Street Blues, if you can go back that far.
I mean, I've only watched movies, you know, Blues Brothers and Wanted and Stranger Than Fiction and, you know, some of those. I've watched mostly just movies
Ferris Bueller.
Yeah, Ferris Bueller. But
you watch The Rookie?
No, I don't think I've watched that.
But The Kid in the Elastic Arm and...
No, never seen that.
That's a baseball movie here based in Chicago.
I mean, I know that Ozarks does start... The show Ozarks does start in Chicago.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. And then they end up moving to the
Ozarks.
Oh, that show's been on TV for a while.
All right.
But I think that's really interesting. I think that's cool that, you know, that he himself was talking to this guy out of respect and really just... exposing who he is and not afraid to talk about his family and And I think that's cool that he's not just like some snooty celebrity, just like telling him, you know, not talking to him at all or interacting.
Yeah, like he didn't get his picture, but I think he did have him call his mom because his mom is, as he said, for Benny, that's her favorite actor. Like I said, it sounds like a real cool dude.
Did Benny sound excited when he told you? Was he telling it with like excitement?
Yes, because he then also admitted that Lady Gaga was his total jam.
Oh, yeah. She's amazing.
Musically, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, and she does a lot for... She's a huge activist, too.
Well, that's what I told
she's
him.
All about BLM.
Honestly, she's always come across like a pretty genuine person.
Because before she met him, her boyfriend, or her fiancé, she was actually going solo with her. She was representing herself.
Yeah, I mean, he... like
she broke up with her manager and everything.
He said he had nothing bad to say at all.
Wow.
Nothing bad.
I mean, what can you say that's bad about her?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Really,
what can you say?
There's haters out there, but they're all wrong.
You got something to share, too, then? You got a celebrity?
Yeah, I mean, my celebrity, I have two short ones, but when I met Matthew, I had just got done working at Kohl's, because before then I lost my job, and that was 2008. And I think everyone kind of did, because the housing crisis was bad. Everyone was losing their jobs. And when I finished Kohl's, I met Matthew. That's when I started working there. And after that, I went back to doing hair. And this was about maybe 3 or 4 years I worked at this salon in the South Loop called Salon Heaven. And it's still there right now. It's an all-black salon. They don't just do black hair, but it is all-black stylists owned by black artists. And this was about 3 years in, and we had this meeting on a Monday, and we weren't usually open to take clients on a Monday. So Mondays were our meetings. And so we had a meeting, and at the end of the meeting, the manager came up to me and said, "Hey, Megan, I know that we're done with the meeting. It's 11 o'clock in the morning. Do you want to take a client?" And I said, "Sure." You know, and she goes, "Okay, well, it's a men's haircut, but they won't say on the phone who it is. So it must be someone important." So I'm thinking, okay, well, we're in the museum campus. We're in an area where there are people that come down that have money, and maybe they want to stay anonymous, or they just don't want any trouble. They just want to come in and get their hair done and get a service done. And I've never really worked in a salon up until like a few years ago, where I encountered people that had money like that, or that didn't want to be known. So I was like, wow, this is very intriguing. Like, of course I'll stay. So there was no one else working there. It was just me and the manager. And this guy comes up, and he's as big as a tree. I mean, he's a big dude, big chest, big arms, like maybe 6'4". I mean, it's tall for me because I'm 5'1". But he comes in, he shakes my hand, you know, say hello. And I'm just like, "Oh, hey, I'm Megan. I'm gonna cut your hair today." And he's like, "Okay, cool." So he sits down, and I'm like looking at his hair, and it's like, it looks very grown out, and it just doesn't look right. And I was like, "What's going on with your hair, bro?" And he's like, "Oh, I've been cutting it myself, because I've been on the road a lot, and I haven't really been able to get it cut." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, well, it doesn't look very good." Like, "You didn't do a very good job." And he started laughing. He had this like winning smile, and he's like, "I know, like, that's why I'm here." And I'm like, "All right, cool." So I'm cutting his hair, and I ask him what he does. And he's like, "Oh, well, I play for the Chicago Sox." And I was like, "Oh, that's cool." And I'm like trying to keep my cool. Like, "Megan, you're halfway done with this haircut. Don't mess it up. Just act cool. Like, you know, this is an athlete. This is a professional athlete sitting in your chair right now." And he also told me that about his family. Like, I guess there's like a town called Sunflower, California, or something like
yes,
that.
That's where he's from. This particular person is from California,
yeah. So he's talking about his parents and where he grew up and his childhood. And then he reveals to me that his name is Carlos Quentin. And I was like, "Whoa, oh, that's cool." I'm like, "Well, I don't really watch sports that much, but I think it's cool that you're coming in to get your hair done with me. Like, I've never cut someone's hair that
was professional athlete." You don't know who that is. Was a outfielder in the major league who played for the White Sox from, I think, 2008, maybe a little sooner than that, to 2011.
Yeah.
So this would have been probably 2011.
Yeah, it had to have been a couple years in when I was working there.
Just also happened to be the last year that he played for the White Sox. So when he came in, it was after the last game of the season, I believe.
And you and I were dating, because I remember I only told you and I only told my grandfather. Because when I cut his hair, you know, he was really happy about it. I was, like, nervous by the time we got done with his hair because I wanted him to like his hair. And I couldn't take a picture of his hair or anything. But he did give me his – he did write down his name on the receipt when he paid for his haircut, and he gave me a really good tip. And I remember going – looking at the manager and just being like, he's a professional baseball player.
Carlos Quentin, yeah. A good tipper. Yeah. So he cannot be compared to, as they say, no tipping, tipping.
No, he, and then I think after he left, I remember, I think I called you first. Because I was like, Matthew, I'm not supposed to say anything. But guess what? I cut Carlos Quentin's hair. And you were like, I don't know if you, I don't remember your reaction, but I remember you being super excited about it. Because I think I did tell you first because you played baseball. And then I told my grandfather, and my grandpa was, like, really excited.
Yeah, I mean, I knew who knew of him, would say, and he was a pretty solid player.
Yeah,
I mean,
he did have a little bit of a hothead, is what my grandpa told me.
Did on the ball field. Yeah. He was a very passionate player.
He was nice in person.
But I would say that is the MO on him, very nice off-field, and it sounds like this story just kind of helps corroborate that or verify that. Yeah. I mean, I think he was a pretty good
because we watched him like the rest of that year, and then I think he got traded. So
I don't know if he got traded or released. He did end up, like I said, 2011 was his last year with the White Sox, and then he did move on back to California and finish his career with the San Diego Padres. He's actually not played since about 2014. So I would suspect that he has since retired from the game.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, very cool when you come across kind of some of those celebrity athletes and really any celebrity in general. It's always been kind of my rule of thumb that, you know, a good person is a good person, whether they are somebody famous or somebody not.
I do have two shorter stories. I don't know if this is before I met Carlos Quentin or after. But I remember when you and I went to St. Louis, I was doing hair for a fashion show, and one of the producers that was helping to fund the fashion show was a girl on the Bad Girls Club.
And so this was a reality TV show. Yeah. I don't remember if it was on Bravo or E.
Bravo. Yeah, and then the next celebrity sighting I had had was recently, actually a few years ago. On, I think it was the day before, it might have been New Year's Eve or the day before New Year's Eve, but I remember working in Wicker Park, and we were like near the end of the day, and I told my boss, I'm going to go to the 7-Eleven, you know, around the corner and get something to drink. And I go into the 7-Eleven and I'm in line, and I recognize this guy from the back, and he has long hair and he has like a cap on. And I remember like going in line and like, you know, he walks up behind me. And so when I'm looking out of the corner of my eye, I realize it's Macaulay Culkin. And I'm like, oh. And Macaulay Culkin's got cigarettes, a Monster drink, water, and like some kind of like, you know, treat or like whatever in his hand. And I'm thinking like, he's had a long night. This is before he went completely sober.
Yes.
And this had to have been 2016 or 17.
So this is when he was, I believe, touring with his
band. Yeah.
I believe the premise of the band, what they would do.
Was it a punk band or
something? No, they had a very unique theme about them. So they covered a bunch of Lou Reed songs, but only they would replace some of the words with basically, so they would turn the music or the songs about pizza.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that was interesting. When I walked back into the salon, I was like, you never get, well, guess who I saw? I saw Macaulay Culkin.
I think the band,
my boss told me the same thing you just said.
That was a phase, I would say. And I have met other people.
It was when he had his long, crazy hair and he looked strung out. And it was the night after. I mean, it was the day after whatever he was doing the night before. And then I think about a year later, he got sober and he went on back
on
TV.
He looks really healthy now. Yeah. He's back kind of believe acting and doing other things. So, yeah, I would say the people that I know that have met him during that time.
Yeah.
And I would say that's kind of some of their descriptions and their similar responses to it. Because I would say he is,
I mean, it shocked me because I was like, wait. And then I was surprised at how easy it was for me to recognize him and then realize, oh, he's been through some shit. Like, because you see people in magazines and they look different. And then you see him in real life and you see all the scars, you see all the, you know, you see through the makeup, you see all of that stuff. And if you really know where to look, then you can find a celebrity. I just think Chicago, they're all spread out. They're not like LA where they're just walking around everywhere or they're just living in their mansions and,
I don't think you can
see them in Chicago as much.
Well, I mean,
unless they're TV stars.
Yeah,
I mean,
you could go here, right? I mean, the TV series Empire is filmed here. I mean, you could go probably hang out somewhere near that set and maybe catch.
I mean, I've seen TV. I saw Mario Lopez when I went to Lollapalooza, and that's because I was staying at VIP, and I've seen TV stars that were at the VIP section.
You saw AC Slater?
Yeah, I saw AC Slater.
You saw AC Slater?
Yes, and he is bigger in real life. He's still short, but he's pretty big. He's got a lot of his muscles are big.
Yeah, I mean, he really looks like somebody who's very physically fit.
I've seen TV stars
that smile
like,
as real as
there.
A look. I mean, he just looks like he's...
And, you know, they get those Lollapalooza tickets for free. I mean, they're, like, supposed to show up. And when they're VIP, they're all in their little area.
You wouldn't mind a little AC Slater action there. Dang.
Yeah. So I just thought that was interesting. I mean, now that I'm even talking about it, I realize I've seen people just... I mean, I've been to a gay bar around here, too, where I've seen... I think there was like a porn star, a famous porn star that was there. There was that Ken doll guy.
Oh, we've seen the Ken doll.
The Ken doll guy. Yeah. I've seen him before.
These pseudo celebrities here, these kind of reality type stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
what else?
Well, since we're talking about reality shows, I saw this article on dailychoices.com. It's a independent news company. It's actually a sister site of heraldweekly.com. So this article came out in October of 2020, and it says these famous reality TV shows are actually fake. Whether we'd admit it or not, we all enjoy watching reality shows from time to time and yelling at our TV sets. These usually hit close to home.
Quick, what's your favorite reality show that you love?
I mean,
I'll go for it. Pawn Stars. I love Pawn Stars. But I also understand that that's very staged.
It is, but that's my guess,
having not read this.
But they also don't live far from your hometown. You can relate to them in that way where they're
you're
country.
Thinking of American.
Oh, American
Pickers.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Which I'm also curious to see if they are also on that because that's also a fairly.
Now, Pawn Stars. I did go to that pawn shop before the show came out.
Oh, so have I. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been there. You brought back a t-shirt from there.
You bought.
Oh, I did. Yeah, I brought you back. I brought it back for you, and it is smaller than it looks.
So I'm curious. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I'm just curious to see again.
I mean, my favorite.
And potentially, is it going to be on this list?
My favorite would be anything that has to do with the Housewives. I can't pick a genre out of that one. My favorite one, honestly, I think the New York Housewives are my favorite.
Yeah, I mean that's
because the OC are the first ones, but they're the OCs
those are
the
clearly staged. I mean, those are
but they're real women. Who,
they are real
you know,
women. They
had
lives and real jobs, and they do kind of base
and
some of the shows
with their
on that. But
and stuff.
You know, a lot of what's on there, I believe, is fairly staged. It would not surprise me to see that on there.
Well, here, so this says these usually hit close to home more than other shows and sitcoms on TV, as they feature everyday people. Going through various unscripted events. At least that was the original premise of these shows. Now, the reason why this article is out is because years ago when The Hills came on TV, there was Laguna Beach and it was supposed to be featuring these high school kids that went to this high
school. Predated the Kardashians, I would say that's kind of what.
And it ended up going into The Hills, which The Hills was like this, like the sequel to the Laguna Beach when the kids got older and they kind of, you know, graduated high school and moved on. Now, at the end of, spoiler alert, but very end of the last episode on The Hills, the last season, last episode, they show Brody Jenner walking away. He had just talked to Kristen, whatever her name is, Kristen Cavallari, and he walks away. And when he's walking away, they expose the cameras and they expose like this big like backdrop that kind of like rolls out of the way, and he's just walking, and it just shows you like, hey, this is a reality show. It's a show. It's scripted. And after he and Kristen Cavallari are talking, he has this like big smile on his face and he walks away. And I'm like, okay, Like, we get it. Like, I knew that it was scripted. I know that it's not just all...
Yeah, but they filmed it with the idea to try to
make it look like... And it's in California, so it's a California type thing, you know?
You know, kind of live and real.
Yeah, yeah.
They try to kind of capture a lot of that. And, you know, it was in those early stages of those reality TV shows that gave rise to what, I guess, you know, now we acknowledge many of them as celebrities, which... You know, so what? Well, who is going to be on this? I wonder if there's going to be any shock. Don't tell me Dr. Pimple Popper or the Hoarders are on here.
You know, I was supposed to be on Chicagolicious.
That was going to be a reality show.
I'll tell my experience after
through this. Who's
so,
up for
first one?
One
is the Osbournes.
That's not a surprise.
One of the first reality TV shows to follow a family of semi-lunatics around while they engaged in a lot of drama was the Osbournes.
I mean, if you don't remember that, I mean, that's where... You know, especially the two kids gave rise and Sharon. I mean, a lot of people, if you didn't aware of her, I mean, now she's on The View and all these other talk shows. But that's not a surprise that that show was very staged, except for maybe where the dog poops and things like that. But
it says, okay, yes, there are in fact their real names. But eventually it came out that most of the show's events were actually scripted. The Osbournes simply came up with crazy ideas before each episode. So they're the ones that, like, thought of all of everything. Yeah. So it was scripted, but it came from them. The second one is Cake Boss. It was inevitable that the popularity of reality cooking shows would eventually lead to one about cakes. Unfortunately, Cake Boss really...
Cake Boss! Yeah, you know, the guy that talks like this!
Cake Boss really takes the cake when it comes to exaggerating drama and controversies. The store's owner, Velastro, is often reported to not even work in his shop when the show isn't filming. Some of the weddings were also reported as fake. Not so sweet, but sugar-coated and fake.
Not my one.
But
I
knew
that.
I knew he wasn't there.
Oh, you knew that he wasn't there
and
fake?
Yeah.
I mean, he's not one of my favorites.
And I heard that he doesn't even work, like, make the cakes or anything. Like, he obviously is a staff. I mean, but that's, like, normal. But I guess you would see, like, in Top Chef, like, the guy who hosts that, he is in all his restaurants. He shows up. He doesn't just, like... own them and then not do anything. He does still cook and work, you know. The third show would be American Idol. American Idol was one of the pioneers in the reality audition TV show format. The show pitted various candidates against its veteran judges and often ended up in some hilarious performances. It's been reported that the show's producers send talent scouts to make sure that they have a few winners at the end of each episode and fills the rest of the time with terrible participants who are known as flops ahead of time. Talentless and fake. So it wasn't unpredictable. They just filled it up.
It was a formula that they went through.
Yeah.
I mean, so when they came up with the funny,
an algorithm.
Singers, I mean, that was part of the formula to the show was they were going to have, you know.
They don't want everyone to be good.
They don't want everybody to be good because then that isn't it. Although now that's kind of funny because I would say that is the formula for some of these reality
America's Got Talent. That's why I like America's Got Talent because they didn't do
that. Or The Voice. I mean, I would say The Voice is not...
The Voice I look up, they don't do that. The judges do not know who's up
That's
there.
What I'm saying. They don't... But they don't prescribe to... You got to have the really bad, nasty singers up there. I mean...
Well, and they only can hear them. They don't get to see what they look like. When American Idol, when you see someone walking up, you're like, oh...
This is a clown. Show. I mean, it was a sideshow. I mean,
Say Yes to the Dress.
Oh, really?
This was a guilty pleasure for me, that show.
Remember, we used to watch that
in Bridezilla's. Yeah, and I would yell at the TV to those.
Any episode of that.
Say Yes to the Dress basically follows a bride's journey while finding the ideal wedding dress. Many people have attended the show sets have claimed that a lot of the participants' reactions were rehearsed and dramatized. The bridal boutique featured on the show was exaggerated in its size and popularity, extravagant and fake.
See, and so, I always kind of thought
I like this guy, too. I like the host.
That the reactions were very Bridezilla-ish because that's who a lot of those women were and how they were reacting during their wedding.
Remember those episodes where they bring their husband, their fiance, and you're like, why are they showing up? Yeah, like, he shouldn't see... I mean, I don't care if they see you before you get married, but they should not be in... They should not have a say of what you wear to your wedding.
Yeah, I would agree.
Unless, like, your fiance is literally paying for it. Because there were some guys that would show up with them because they were paying. because they like
that would usually be the case when they were showing up is when they had the investment.
But they were the nice ones. Their brides were the ones that were telling them to pay for it because they like had a lot of
money.
There
was some of that there. Yeah. Yeah.
Hell's Kitchen, one of the world's popular cooking shows, is without a doubt Hell's Kitchen. Gordon Ramsay used it to become a household figure. It is regularly shown yelling and getting supremely mad at some of the show's less competent participants. Sadly, not only is most of the show scripted, but many of the actual customers of the restaurants are paid actors. Oh, so blazing fake.
That doesn't surprise me.
Really?
No. Now, I'm going to be surprised, though, if we see another popular show on there.
MasterChef USA.
No. I mean, to me, I think John Taffer is real. I think Bar Rescue is a real show and not scripted.
Well, it says MasterChef USA, whether or not MasterChef, Hell's Kitchen, or any other show involving Gordon Ramsay is real. Everyone mostly watches these shows to see the notorious chef yelling at people and inventing creative expletives. It's still worth... Oh, yeah, because you watch that show and half of it's just like, beep, beep, beep.
Yeah, I mean, he's going off. I mean, I always figured he played it up for the camera.
It's still worth that mentioning that Ben Starr, a former participant, wrote a long blog post claiming that the entire behavior of the cast is fake and intentionally over-dramatized. But that is to be expected in a prime television... Primetime television.
TV! 90
Day Fiancé.
Oh, really?
I actually would... I was on and off with this show. I didn't really watch it all the time.
I haven't really ever watched... I mean, I get...
I watched reaction shows on TV that would watch it. That would, like, show the like certain episodes. 90 Day Fiancé. There are so many things wrong about 90 Day Fiancé that many of us hoped it was fake from the get-go. The premise of the show is that a person imports a potential foreign wife or husband and has 90 days to marry them before their tourist visa expires. Some participants claimed that the drama in the show was intentionally gained by producers for ratings. There were so many things morally wrong about this show that some had to be fake. And then the next show is Dance Moms. Like, I did watch that. I think you watched it sometimes with me too, right? With Abby?
Yeah, a little bit. She was a bit.
Remember, she was like, yeah. She had to pay some taxes that she didn't pay.
Yeah, she had been in jail and has had kind of a bit of a roller coaster life there.
It says, like many popular reality shows, the main entertaining crutch behind Dance Moms is the drama and confrontations. In 2015, one of the show's past participants, Maddie Ziegler, revealed that the production basically set it up so that everyone was always mad and yelling at each other. She even claimed the moms would set up fake fights and yell at each other just for the show. It's Restaurant Stakeout? Have you seen this? We've seen that, right? Restaurant Stakeout? The premise behind Restaurant Stakeout is seeing restaurateur Willie Daigle get behind the counter in unsuccessful food establishments and fix their broken businesses. He does this by firing inadequate staff members in highly dramatic fashion, which is quite a tall order for a weekly TV show. I've seen this show before. One of the show's participants admitted that the studio contracted him and screened for bad employees. They also asked the restaurant staff to act as horribly as possible.
Oh, no.
That's terrible. Project Runway. No, I love me some Tim Gunn and a Heidi Klum.
Oh, no.
And then remember when she stepped down, they had the first winner become the new... Yeah, and then now they have another host. I forgot what her name is. I don't know what her name is. Project Runway. Project Runway is quite a popular show and gives a supposed behind-the-scenes look into a work that goes into runway fashion shows. Unfortunately, the show has been outed by many of its former participants, including Jack Meckenroth and Daniel Esquivel. These designers claim that scenes are extremely sensationalized and that the show in reality is much more boring. This was designed to be fake. So I guess they just make it, they made it so that it was more dramatic. I would assume that it would be kind of boring. I mean, they're just making clothes.
They are making clothes, right?
Yeah. I mean... Yeah. Judge Judy?
Oh, those judge shows is duh. That's
we know that.
Right? No,
yeah.
Of course they all.
Maybe, Pawn Stars!
I knew that was a stage show. But not recently. When I first started watching, I didn't. But eventually over time, you realize it is, especially after, if you've ever been there, you realize just how small that place really is.
Well, it says it functions as a tourist attraction rather than an actual business. Most of the scenes are completely fake and scripted. It says that the items on the show are usually researched while prices agreed ahead of time, and the stars don't even work the counter when the cameras aren't filming. Yeah, I had never seen any of them when I went there. And I would imagine even when you see them bartering, like when they do the prices and Rick never likes to spend a lot, I mean, that's all scripted. I realize, like, he's not going to just decide
on the spot. You aren't watching a live.
No. Well, reality shows are never live. They're always like that, you know. So there's a couple other shows. I'll put this link in there because the other shows are I've never even seen before.
No, I've heard of and seen them, but they do not surprise me. That,
God,
that,
Tyler's and Tara.
Yeah, that disgusted me. That should be.
The Apprentice?
Of course that was a stage
Let's
show.
Just end with this one.
Oh, boy.
Before Donald Trump became president of the U.S., he was polishing his acting skills on The Apprentice. The show made him almost as popular as Oprah and mostly revolves around Trump interviewing candidates for a chance to work with him. Many of the show's firing scenes were highly exaggerated and participants knew ahead of time that they were about to get the axe. Presidentially fake. Well, that's interesting. And didn't you say that like someone had blogged about him like shitting his pants on that show?
No, there was a handler that was on that show for him that would go around, you know, and do his... You know, it was a runner for him, basically, and said the number of times that he was basically hopped up on something and the one time that he pooped his pants and somebody had to come and change it because he was so, again, kind of hopped up on stuff. I mean, yeah, there's a bunch of ridiculous stuff.
Yeah.
And, of course, he has never refuted any time this one person has kind of posted this stuff. So
yeah, I think it's crazy. Like,
yeah, it's great. That doesn't surprise me that show was fake. Like I said, there were a couple shows that I'm glad to see that were not on there. I mean, Dr. Pimple Popper, I think
this goes to
really
show
bad.
You that you and I watch high quality reality shows and you know, you and I go into knowing that they are scripted at some point. I mean, when I was going to be on Chicagolicious, this is when I was still working at Salon Heaven, and I think this was a year before I actually ended up leaving, but Jerseylicious was already, you know, said and done. It had already been on TV and had a couple seasons. And these producers from LA came down and they were surveying all these different salons in the South Side. And Salon Heaven was one of the salons that they looked at. And for my audition or my interview, we had to look through, I'm not exaggerating here, it had to have been 20 to 25 pages of questions that we had to go over and look through and write down answers
to. Yeah, age and personality.
Yeah,
and you want the
drama. They were about like, who's your favorite person you work with? Who's your least favorite? What do you like about the salon? What do you like about, you know, working in the city? Or what do you, you know, just random questions that they asked us. And then the interview was kind of the same, but it was almost like they wanted to get a rise out of me and like they wanted to get some good tea, hot tea out of me, talk shit about somebody. And they also did it so that they would talk about, there was this girl that worked there that I worked with who didn't train me at all when I worked with her at the salon that she worked at. And when I ended up moving to Salon Heaven, she followed me there. And she, I guess they said that she had said some good things about me in her interview. And I kind of laughed because we weren't in a good place. We were fighting all the time. We only fought publicly in the salon in front of people once. But I laughed and they were like, well, what's wrong? And I'm like, hold it in. Don't say anything. Because if you say something, then that's going to be the show. That's enough. Don't give them anything. Don't give them any inkling that you don't like this person. And I was just like, yeah, I like her. She's cool. Like, you know, we worked together before and now we're working here. And that was about it. I mean, I really was very vague with all of my answers. But I could tell that they were trying to get a rise out of me. They were trying to get me to say some things that they could use as content.
Well,
he
said
for the show.
Drama sells.
I think nice doesn't. And I told my boss, I said, if you are doing the show, I'm not working here anymore. I mean, I'm not. I don't want to be filmed. You know, I'd rather just be here when you're not filming. And because I was such a good salon stylist there, and my boss respected me enough, she decided
that could have
not
been
to do it.
Our opportunity.
I'm not making money on a TV show. And
oh,
fake.
Goodness.
I'm not gonna be fake. I'm just not a fake person. I've never have a fake bone in my body. It's gotten me in trouble, being completely honest and saying
Once
what
again,
I want to say. But
I avoid becoming a celebrity.
Yeah, I don't. I just don't
because
think
I told
that
you
it would have been a good
time.
Thing. Yeah,
I could have been a Johnson & Johnson baby.
Yeah. And I don't think that I'd be able to focus.
A baby model.
I don't think I'd be able to focus and do hair when there's a camera facing me and I know that there's probably watching
that's
me.
That's a different whole perspective. Yeah. I mean, it's one thing when you're a superstar baby model like me.
I just think that if you are okay with having the people watch you and you like to be the center of attention, that's a TV show personality. I'm not a TV show. I'm a strong personality, but I don't like to be that way when I know that I could be on TV. I'd rather be on TV in a documentary. And now that I do photography and videography, I'd rather be behind the camera. I'd rather be filming someone instead of actually being filmed. So that's what I have to share as far as like celebrity and reality in my experience. But I just thought those were interesting. That was an interesting article. And I know that for some of you guys, I'm sure that our listeners already know that a lot of these shows are scripted or pre-scripted. But I just thought it was something interesting to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. Maybe not everybody out there did understand or realize that many of those reality shows, I mean, they're scripted. It's how they're able to kind of put them together and piece together in a nice 30-minute, 50-minute, whatever, however long they are.
Yeah, create a story.
Create a story. I mean, there is
and
a story
arc. And it keeps people distracted from the outside shit that's going on, all the crazy shit. I mean, that's why reality shows are on TV. It's to make to entertain us. So I wanted to end this episode with a shout-out. Matthew and I like to go to this beer place. It's a bodega that sells beer and alcohol and all different types of wine. And
a lot
everything.
Of variety and many local produced kind of beers and wines.
Yeah, and it's owned by these Indian family, the son and father. And when Matt and I first moved here, we started going there to get our spirits, and I think we just continue to go there. And the guy that works there, he knows literally everything about beer, everything about alcohol, everything they buy, he knows about.
Oh, very knowledgeable, enthusiastic.
Yeah,
about the product
he asks us
that
how we're doing.
In there
and yeah, he knows everything.
Seems genuine and nice.
Why don't you tell everybody about what he told you about last time? What did he introduce you to?
So they,
we get really cool different types of beer that
yeah,
we buy
there. Yeah, they
recently
brought in a beer here, and it was a kind of, you know, the type of beer was a chai beer, but it's the gentleman that created it is from India.
Yeah.
Indian. So
born
he looked
in
at that, he said,
born in Chicago.
It's a Ziti. He started telling me that this gentleman, you know, actually the raw materials that they go into these products are actually imported directly from India. He has been over there and studied kind of the materials used to be able to craft and create, you know, some really skillful, tasty beer here. And that's,
yeah, his name is Bhavik Modi, and he's the co-founder and CEO of Azadi Brewing. So he gave Matthew, the guy that works at the bodega, I guess he's friends with him.
Yeah, he gave a very encouragement. Yeah. I don't know whether he's friends, but he definitely knew that he was excited. He himself was excited.
I'm not
to
saying
try
just because they're Indian, but I'm sure because they're friends.
That,
he
was
sure
excited because
yeah.
of that, actually,
yeah.
because he was.
Yeah,
you know, here's
I would
fellow.
Do it. If my friend wanted to sell his yeah. beer, yeah, I would definitely sell it.
Somebody like me here that's living here and yeah, has created a...
So they have a mango IPA and a golden IPA and a Mumbai cutting chai
yeah.
stout. It's a
stout.
Yeah,
you know, it's a chai
so
stout.
It's definitely more of the ingredients of a chai recipe that was passed down to him through generations. And then the mango and the golden ale are new. And I just wanted to give Azadi Brewing Company a shout out. I will link their Instagram website in the description so you guys can check them out. I highly suggest if you are in Chicago or you go on their website that you support them. We, like I said, we are very into supporting local artists, local companies, small businesses, and
yeah, I mean,
you know,
support the
tasty beer, yeah, and tasty
supporting
beer.
Local, and especially when it's a good product and
yeah,
especially a unique product here like this. I can't only imagine what it costs to bring in some of those. Ingredients, but
now the golden ale is 4.2%, the chai is 8.0%, and the mango is 6.9%.
So they got some kick
proof.
To them.
Yeah, and they only have three, but I feel like that's enough for at least now. And I think that there's something for everybody as far as flavor. I love chai tea. I love chai tea and I love beer.
Yeah, there's
and
a
I
couple different
great.
Companies out with that kind of a similar type.
Yeah,
but this is very unique in the fact that. you know, the gentleman, Indian American here, and the ingredients coming directly from over there.
They just had their launch party this past November.
And started, so very exciting and, you know, happy for them,
And they actually, on their Instagram, they show all the different processes that they go through with, they show pictures of the distillery and
videos. If you're somebody interested in brewing and the techniques, I would highly recommend go visit their website and check that out.
Yeah.
The videos are pretty cool. And
I mean, I'm definitely intrigued by them. So we wanted to tell you that we love you guys. We want you to stay happy, stay healthy,
stay well,
wear a goddamn mask. I'm Megan.
I'm Matt.
And you're listening to The Night Owl.